Warnosanitajep lilkom semija ta' Campus Danua Eman Borċu program aħna għuna l-din s-sensira għal-sensira ta' sajf nirġaw ninsabu għonek għal-dan il-program program li wara nuqqas ta' sena uftit jirġa jinsab ma'kom biktar enerġija jinsab ma'kom biktar mistidna jinsab ma'kom biktar esperienzi u intervisti propju il-program soċjali ta' Campus l-istazzjon fl-Università ta' Malta jinsab għonek ukoll u aħna ninsabu għonek għal-din inizja ta' diskussjoni fejn flimkien ma' diversi esperti, attivisti u professjonisti se nkunu qegħdin nitkellmu dwar suġġetti li joqtu s-soċjetà Maltija u Awċija. U inti semmih tagħna għandek ukoll parti kruċjali f'din id-diskussjoni billi taqsam l-opinjonijiet tiegħek ukoll fuq il-mezzi soċjali ta' Campus u taqsam ukoll l-opinjonijiet tiegħek dwar dak kollu li qegħdin se nkunu qegħdin niddiskutu għal dawn il-13-il programm li ġejjin. U proprju biex nagħmlu dan se nibdew b'intervista li żguri hija waħda għall-qalbi passjoni personali dwar l-għada LGBTI plus gozo u miegħi għandi lil-Kat Camilleri li hija attivista fih dan l-NGO LGBTI plus gozo u anke se nkunu qed nitkellmu magħha dwar il-pubblikazzjoni ta' ktieb ġdid li għadhom kemm varaw din l-NGO propju blisem ta' il-ħna minna u deċ Gozo Voices. Sinkunu għedin nifmu xinu il-ħsib wara dan il-ktib u anke xie esperienzi grazzi għal dan il-ktib li ġi publikat ftit tal-ġimatilu. Pero biex namlu dan nil-omana l-Kat. Kat, good afternoon and thank you for being here. First and foremost, how are you?
Good afternoon, Iman. Thank you so much for having me here.
So, Kat, just a quick introduction of who Kat is and also LGBTI plus Gozo.
Yes, so I am a writer, teacher, trainee counselor, queer person, and coordinator of LGBT plus Gozo. LGBT plus Gozo is the first and only LGBT organization on the island of Gozo that caters to LGBT realities. That means we hold social events, community outreach discussions, trainings to different entities, and we make sure that LGBT people are represented on the island of Gozo.
And of course, it's an organization that knows its inception from a need in society. What is the need in a society of Gozo to specifically have an LGBT organization in Gozo? Why an LGBT organization in Gozo?
Well, LGBT people are an integral part of the fabric of our society. And LGBT people are here. They are represented here in Malta and here in Gozo. The issues that we find in Gozo is there's not enough representation. There's not enough knowledge about what people are going through in their day-to-day lives when they're living in a small island. So at LGBT Gozo, we really try and provide that representation, listening to the community, getting a sense of what their needs are in terms of their social needs, their medical needs, their physical needs, their community needs. So we really work to make sure that those voices are heard and spoken to.
It's very apt that you use the word the voices are heard, because the premise of this discussion and the premise also of a lot of the work that LGBTI plus Gozo is doing is purely on voices being heard. And in my introduction, I introduced a publication called Gozo Voices. So what is Gozo Voices?
So Gozo Voices is a collection of poetry, short stories, and prose from about 22 different authors, both named and anonymous. And it's a collection of stories, of experiences, the first of its kind that really tell the wider Maltese audience what the experiences of LGBT people on the island of Gozo are. So this book really came from a desire to give LGBT people in Gozo the opportunity to express themselves in a creative way. And for these stories that have lived so much in the darkness and haven't been told, are represented. So this publication was really important to us, because we really wanted people's stories to be heard. And through that art of creative writing, of community, providing catharsis almost in a way. Writing has always been a great way that people express themselves. And we really wanted to use this medium to tell these stories, you know.
Why writing? Why the medium of writing in opposed to doing a dance mm-hmm. exposition mm-hmm. or a painting exposition? Why was the decision, okay, it's good, there's a voice in the community, you can do 100 different methods. Why like the art of writing?
So quite honestly, it's because I myself am a writer. And when I joined this organization, I had this idea of creating a book of our writing, of the writing of the people in Gozo. And it started slowly with creativity club meetings. The community would come together, we would discuss, we would write. And this was a way that I found, you know, to really open up and express yourself about certain things and being able to have discussions with different people. And share vulnerability, you know, because writing is a very vulnerable process and putting that into the world can be very difficult. But, you know, with the support of the community behind them, it gave more of an opportunity for people to be open about things. So really, because writing is my creative medium, writing is a way for me to express myself, it's something that I wanted to bring to our members to be able to express themselves in this way.
You said it's the first anthology series of its kind in Gozo. What does that mean? When we say the first, it's not the first book published in Gozo, is it? Like, so what's different in Gozo Voices in terms of the community that LGBTI plus Gozo put forward, as you just mentioned?
Mm-hmm. What's really beautiful about this book is that it's made by queer people, for queer people, and about queer people. And the voices, the experiences, the realities that LGBT people have faced on the island of Gozo have never been spoken of before. And they've never been able to come together in this way. And what we really tried to do with this book was make sure that a wide range of experiences and realities were incorporated into this collection. We have young writers, we have older writers, we have anonymous writers, we have trans experiences represented, we have ally experiences represented. So this book is really an amalgamation of LGBT realities, but also beyond that, you know, the community that we've built together, the people who are there to support us. So it really is one of its kind.
And you mentioned a number of identities, which is what LGBTI plus Gozo is all about, this representation, all in Gozo. So what's interesting here for me is how we're mentioning ally, young persons, drag artists, non-binary, all in Gozo. Where are they? Like, when we say, because Gozo is just like, there's nothing in Gozo. Lack of representation is what we started this conversation. Mm-hmm. There's lack of representation mm-hmm. in Gozo. But then we're opening a book physically in our hands and we're seeing quite a lot of representation. So what's happening? What's the mismatch that is not allowing maybe for that representation mm-hmm. to be visible?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's amazing that Gozo has such a thriving queer community. We have over 100 members in our organization. That's not to mention other queer individuals who are living on the island. So there is a strong LGBT community there in Gozo. However, the issue that I find is it's very difficult to be yourself in a small community. Everyone knows each other in Gozo, so it's very difficult to have the anonymity that a lot of queer people need for safety. So we're not able, I feel, to be as open as public, as apparent, with who we are, when we're in Gozo. However, there has still a lot of representation, and continuously we are working to show Gozotans and people in Malta that there is a thriving queer community. We have EuroPride coming up in September. Gozo will be launching EuroPride. Our Pride March will be on September 9th. And we will be opening up, you know, the doors to this beautiful celebration of love and friendship and community. So we're here. We are around. And with this book, we really wanted to show that LGBT people are here. They've always been here, and they will continue to be here, regardless of what bigotry they face, what stigmas they face in society.
The bigotry and the stigma that we're mentioning, and also you mentioned the word safety, the safety that queer people need. Is it something that LGBTI plus Gozo faces on a day-to-day basis? Are they episodes which are that the organization maybe experience that you go like, okay, so it mm-hmm. it really is a tangible
yes.
thing.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Luckily, the negative experiences haven't been overwhelming. There is definitely far more positivity than negativity. However, we still encounter numerous issues where it really just drives home that our work is needed.
Yeah.
For example, maybe a month ago, a month and a half ago, we received a letter in our mailbox, not addressed from anyone, but it was a printout of the popular Bible verse,
yeah.
"He who must not lie with men."
Yeah.
And it was really surprising to receive that letter.
In the meantime, whilst a quote from a scripture is being quoted on the terms of religious beliefs, the organization is doing work with the religious community in Gozo.
Absolutely.
So how does that, like, how does that, from an outside perspective, I'm like, okay, so what gives? What gives? Because what LGBTI plus Gozo is doing is also being on grassroots level mm-hmm. with religious leaders in Gozo. So these comments, this printout, is, in your opinion, is it a statement of the wider train of thought of society? Or is it a very small cocoon of ideologies?
I tend to say it's a small cocoon of ideology. The support that we have received from the churches, from the Archbishop of Gozo, have been astounding. You know, when we opened the SL Lahab 2 years ago, he came and blessed the space, which was such a beautiful moment for so many of our members who had grown up in this space, not knowing if the church accepted them. So to gain this acceptance was huge for a lot of people. Just the other day, I met with Drachma parents and with the bishops and priests of Gozo to talk about LGBT issues. So religious ideology, the religious institutions, they are open to the discussion. They're open to hearing the experiences, which I feel is the first step towards change. You know, having these discourses, having these conversations, answering questions, you know, understanding different perceptions and perspectives, and being able to work through stigma in a certain way.
But well, and also being able to work through stigma is a message I also believe is quite prominent in the book. Just taking it a little bit back to mm-hmm. the book in terms of the personal stigma that we have. So when I was reading the book, a lot of it comes from the self-hate. Like, mm-hmm. the beginning was quite, I do not accept my... What do you make of, like, I do not accept myself to here I am accepting
mm-hmm.
myself?
Mm-hmm.
This process, this arch, was it a deliberate arch in the book to have a journey, or did it come automatically?
Mm-hmm. when we first began this publication, we didn't have an idea of how everything would be laid out. But over time, we began to isolate the poems, seeing which pieces work together, what themes are coming up through the stories that are being told. And through this, we had the idea of replicating a plant, of showing the seeds of a plant growing and sprouting into a larger tree that would represent ultimately the journey that LGBT people go through. And throughout the book, we ebb and flow. We have moments of intense happiness, of love, of friendship, camaraderie, where the plant is healthy and strong. And then we have poems that are vulnerable and speak to the inner pain that LGBT people face. And there the plant is withered, you know, tree is cut down.
So the plant is going through the experience of growing and stumbling and barriers and kind of through the narrative of the book.
Absolutely.
Through the narrative of the experiences of, we said, 22 LGBTI people from Gozo. On their experiences, so all of these are personal, real experiences that people from Gozo wrote. So these are experiences that were lived, that are raw, that are real. The process of all of this, what's the process like? What's the process of publishing the book? Because we were talking before, and also you said we did not know what we were going to receive. Like, we had no idea what was going to happen. Will people actually submit something? Will there be a book? What's the process like?
There was a huge fear that we wouldn't receive submissions. So to receive this outpour of stories of creative work was so heartening, you know, and really gave us the motivation to push forward. We were able to collect all of these stories. We were able to work with a publisher to put them together and, you know, former illustrations. But it really was a team effort, to be honest. Printing out the manuscript, organizing the layout of these poems, deciding which pieces go together, what themes need to be represented. So it really was a team effort. And then, of course, having our book launch, being able to give copies of the books to our authors. So it really was a long process, especially considering this idea really began to form 2 or 3 years ago. But now it's come through fruition, utilizing the different skills of the LGBT community, of our executive team at LGBT Gozo. Making sure that we have our marketing down, our texts are edited, proofread, you know, that the layout is where it needs to be for things to be cohesive, coherent. So it really was a long process, but very fruitful.
And we'll talk about the book launch in a moment, but also within this process, in terms of, you mentioned at the beginning, the Creativity Club sessions. How did the organization link both aspects? So from the Creativity Club, walk us through what happened when a group of people met in a room and started writing. What was the process from that inception of a seed, really?
Absolutely. It was a really beautiful moment to be able to see people come together and to write. We would really sit in a circle, check in with each other at first, and then begin the session with 10 minutes of free writing.
Okay.
Just write, listen to some music, drink some wine, eat some snacks.
Love the wine part.
Yes. The wine is necessary when writing. And just giving people the opportunity to write about whatever they think about. And then we would have discussions about what was brought up. People had the opportunity to share what they had written. And this would just be a launching off point of an entire conversation about taboos, stigma, love, acceptance, how we feel about ourselves, how we feel about others, and just have such an amalgamation of different of different conversations.
Yeah. What I like about it is how it started from a community kind of based event, or rather like meetups, really, to now through those facilitation that the organization is doing, through a book, to something physical, to something that will continue to live on.
Absolutely.
Is this, like, when we say something that continues to live on, for me it also like a strong message of that these memories are going to keep on living on. Would you also care to read a short poem, maybe also to just give an idea to our listeners of what is the book about? What are we talking about?
Absolutely. I'll read one of my pieces that's called Thomas Keane, and this was inspired by Teatro Thomas Keane, initiated by Luc Sedan. He put on his mother's red heels one day after school, the ones she wore to go out dancing, that glistened and twinkled, drops of ruby, blood red against the limestone walls that hold his home. He put on his mother's red heels and liked the way they looked against his pale, spindly ankles. His toes arched, the balls of his feet fluttering in the soles like birds against a windowpane. He put on his mother's red heels and walked across the floor, imagining himself on the runways of Paris, Milan, New York, places he'd seen in magazines on the screen, dazzling the crowds with beauty, effervescence, weightlessness. He put on his mother's red heels and went to show her, toddling across the mosaic floor like he once did as a child, the shattered stones cut in hundreds of sharp pieces and stuck together again. Thomas Keane. He put his mother's red heels on the floor of the closet, where they sit, unassuming, taunting him. Put me on again, they say. Feel what it is like to fly, child tethered to the earth. He puts on his father's brown shoes, his feet knocking around inside them, restless, caged. Thomas Keane, who lives in the cracks of the floor, chained to the ground, his wings clipped, but never to be shorn.
That is honestly breathtaking, generally.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Why Thomas Keane? What's Thomas Keane representing?
So this wonderful artist, musician, songwriter, composer, Luc Sedan, created this play called Teatro Thomas Keane. And in this play, it's all about this town that's in the middle of nowhere, very far to reach, very isolated. And the town forms an uproar when one of these boys finds red shoes, a pair of red heels, and decides to put them on. And I was really inspired by the work that Luc and his troupe did. Being able to understand how these differences, these desires, these feelings that we have inside can be so suppressed and so rejected by society. And I felt it really encapsulated a lot of experiences here, you know, gay experiences, trans experiences, drag experiences, of being stuck in this middle place, you know, not being accepted, not accepting yourself, and the confines that we have to put ourselves in to fit into this mold. You know, we were talking about survival before, and it's so much of that being in that box, yes, is safe because we're not out there. Who we are isn't out there for scorn to be felt. But at the same time, then we're trapped in a box, you know?
Right, right.
So this poem was really trying to bring that to mind and also connect with, you know, the Maltese ideology at times of, you know, if one sees a gay person, hears a gay person, tell Miskeen, oh, it's Miskeen, you know, yeah. Miskeena. Poor one. You know, and I don't speak Maltese, unfortunately, but, you know, that was always something that was so poignant to me, you know, that LGBT people, poor one. And I don't think that's accurate. I think LGBT people have a rich history, a rich love, and so much more to show than what society allows them to.
What I like about this book, if I may, mm-hmm. is how the listeners out there right now, they're making their own interpretation of what a very beautifully penned poem, what they just heard in terms of what it means and also how it connects to me, for example, yeah. myself. Like, I read this and I've read this before, but now that I'm listening to you reading it, my first train of thought goes, okay, so he put on his mother's red heel one day after school. So we have a child here. And then as the poem progressed, it goes, he puts on his mother's heel, trotting across the mosaic floor like he once did as a child. And for me, what that gives me, I'm not sure if it's by plan or just my interpretation, is that this person has grown, but his affection to the red heels are still, it's still there, you know, it's his true self is being expressed through the red heels. The person is coming out of that box through the red heels as a child and as an adult, and now putting on his father's brown shoes is going back into the normativity of society. And through that kind of emotional journey that this poem sends, gives me an interpretation which may be different than what, well, thankfully we have the author here, so you can confirm or deny or just kind of let you know. But, you know, it's everyone has their yeah. own emotion yeah. and interpretation and yeah. connective ability with these written pieces that... It's just brilliant. It just really is.
Thank you so much, Iman.
And just like, this is, again, a poem from an experience that Tayatu Tolmeskin was in Gozo. It launched itself in Gozo last September. I remember when we were told, we were in the same room or we were in the same conversation via Zoom. They told mm-hmm. us, listen, we're doing an LGBT-centric event production. In Gozo, we're doing it over a weekend. We're not doing it mm-hmm. once. We're doing it, I believe, two or three times.
I think they had two or three shows.
And my first reaction was, ha, good luck selling that in yeah, Gozo.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, as an LG, and it was sold out. Like packed. It was packed.
Packed.
Like, people went, Gozo didn't went. Maltese people came to Gozo to watch this production, which is also something that happened during Pride in Gozo, during Gozo Pride March, you know, this kind of fraternal camaraderie that there is between the whole LGBTI community, and something that, and I'm going to quote you on this, something that I really appreciate is that you often say that whenever you go abroad, you're always going to find an LGBT family. Mm-hmm. How real is that for you, Kat? Like, someone who is Gozotin, but also lived in New York. How real is the family that you find in different spaces?
It's really beautiful, and it's always something that I enjoy to say to other LGBT people and to myself. No matter where we go on this planet, we have family.
Yeah.
And for me, I grew up in New York. I came out in New York. I explored my sexuality, my gender in New York. And when I moved here to Gozo in 2020, I never imagined that I would be able to find LGBT people here, that I could be openly myself, that I could be openly advocating
right,
and openly be an activist for LGBT people, which is really where my passion stems from. And I remember meeting you for the first time as well. And
do you remember that?
I remember that we spent the first year of our acquaintance just meeting online because it was COVID, height of COVID.
Right.
And when I met you for the first time and the LGBT plus Gozo family, it was like an instant connection.
Right.
An instant connection where I was able to express myself, to share my experiences with you guys. And that's what's beautiful. Yes, all of these experiences documented in this book are different.
Right.
But they all ring true to the lived experiences that most every LGBT person goes through. So being able to share that experience, to have that instant connection and understanding is priceless, especially when you live in a world that not all people are treated equally. You live in a world where people are still prosecuted for loving who they love, for being who they are. So for me, the LGBT family that I have found here in Malta and Gozo has been really instrumental to me. And it's being a Gozotan is very much tied to my identity, and being a queer person is tied to my identity. And I never thought they could work together.
Right.
You know.
Right. And one of I do suggest that the listeners will also, you know, get a copy, because Rowan has this poem, the story, These Waters. Right, so These Waters is it These Waters or is it, there's two. It is These Waters. And it's very interesting because it's about finding the LGBT family. And I was reading this on the ferry after the launch. And it properly hit.
An apt place to read that piece.
On the ferry.
On the ferry.
Just by coincidence, I told you that. So something that's interesting also, you mentioned, of course, you're one of the authors, Rowan, also one of the authors. There's 22 authors.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are also anonymous.
Correct.
Why was the need for an anonymous submission? How come there's an anonymous submissions, and like kind of what does that represent in terms of the whole book?
Like we were saying before, there's safety in anonymity. Not everyone lives within a family, within a context where they are accepted for who they are. And there's a real threat of danger, whether that's physical violence, verbal abuse, and all manner of different negative ways of reacting to a person expressing who they are. And we really wanted to make sure with this book that it was open, you know, that we didn't want to tell our contributors, you know, you have to put your name down. You have to be represented here in print, you know, through that. Because to be honest, that's dangerous. And it would be negligent for us to do. Because it's outing someone who might not be able to be out. So we really wanted to make sure that people were comfortable and confident and felt safe in expressing themselves and putting their vulnerability out there. I mean, it's like I said, it's not an easy thing to do, to be able to put your writing out into the world, which is so deeply personal. And then to have that additional threat of people are going to know my name, people are going to know who I am. We found it absolutely necessary to add anonymous submissions. And we received, and I'm so grateful for those anonymous submissions, because it takes such bravery to be able to even to do that, you know? When I said that this book really encapsulates different realities, it's really true, you know, even with our anonymous submitters, you know, it's representing another side, another experience of people who are not able to be themselves.
And you know, not being able to be yourself and then still still seeing these stories and like with the hope that now this book, which is publicly available, and we'll also explain how it is available in a moment. But in these experiences, which are now written for a very long time, like hopefully forever, there'll be the book running around, but also like opening up the book. And while you were speaking, I was just like looking into different experiences and just like seeing like the different names and the difference, even like coming to terms, which is an anonymous submission. And then you have music, which is also an anonymous submission. And they're so different, but they're so real. And then I tried, but I couldn't. Mm-hmm. There's so many different also chapters, like transitions, scars, taboos. What are these? What are these kind of... They're not even chapters. They're more like...
I would say they're more as introductions to the next few poems or pieces that the reader is going to read. As we were collecting submissions and we were getting all of these different pieces together, we began to isolate these different themes that were coming up in these pieces, and we started grouping certain sections together and then deciding, you know, what is the word that encapsulates the shared theme, the shared voice that's being spoken to in those pieces. And it also represents a lot of the themes that people, LGBT people, go through, straight people go through, you know. We have battles and courage and family, you know, taboos and scars and pride, love and acceptance. And we laid out our pieces in the sense that we begin with this hopeful almost feeling. Yeah. And then we begin to see, you know, the trials and tribulations of the experience. And then we finish the book with love and acceptance. Because through this publication, the writers, our community, is showing that we are accepted. We are here. You know, people do care about us. They do care that we're here taking up space.
Would you say that, like, taking up space, is it really taking up space, or is it like reclaiming what is really by right or by yours, you know? Because I used to say a lot, like, yeah, like especially to youth, when I would, like, take up the space. You deserve to take up. Is it really taking up space, or is it like really just reclaiming the space that you have? And I think this book is, rather than taking up any space, it's really just allowing, and that's what LGBT Exposo is all about, creating the space where people can connect with each other. And what I love about what you just said in terms of this journey, in terms of what everyone is going through, is that the book in itself is not portraying or projecting whatever agenda or message LGBT Exposo might have.
Yeah.
It's very raw. Like, I was literally reading, and I'll read this also for the audience to understand what I mean. There's the introduction to acceptance, which is accepting something that's along the lines of accepting myself without losing my identity made me more free. Beautiful, you know, a positive story. You go a bit before, and journeying goes, as I travel through the countries to study and find myself, I inherited homophobia in a small island, a testament that the journey is not done. So in page 56 and then page 78, you have two completely different experiences introducing a journey of acceptance, which is just beautiful. It's just, and that in itself is why I felt also during the production, I was talking also to some people that support this production exercise that happens once every 3 months, like kind of a dump of ideas of programs. And the first program back after a year was like, we have to have this book as an introduction, because it really is what this radio show is all about. So it's called Ahnaun, We Are Here. And this book is literally showcasing that we are here, like, LGBT Gozitans are are here.
Very much.
So we're 40 minutes in the conversation.
We could talk about this forever.
We could talk about this forever. We're going to go into a music break. I'll tell you what we do. We'll go into a music break, and then we'll hear a story from Jacob? We're doing Jacob. Okay. So we'll do that. I'll switch very slowly to Maltese. So hammaru għal-waqqata muzika minn Malta dejjem fuq aħna hawn. Ovvjament program diskussjoni hawn xija ħanitemgħu waħda mill-iktar mużiki allegri li hawn bħalissa ġewwa għawdex fl-opinjoni tiegħi u anke f'Malta minn artisti. Għawċin dan huma The Travelers u Dinja ħafi paċi kuluri.
تسمع للمي فقع في السسواق تريح تشعلع السجار ينزل الشمس احمر نار حياة بيل في تشنترو انرجيا بورا كل قلوب حالمور تقلي دالك بار في ستايل داولو دلام مسود في السار سامو ريك الدنيا ستوية لو فياجي يندور الدنيا كلها Pachi colore, happy pachi colore, happy pachi colore, happy pachi colore, mia vasta semplice, happy pachi colore. Ma bajda immedu Nixxabbatu Nitlaftej Vizjoni naħadif ferinti Dinja waħda sempliċi Ħafi paċi kuluri Xiftit Kreativ Astrat izda pozitiv Zenurik id-dinja Storja ħelwa vjaġġi Jendur id-dinja kulla Ħafi paċi kuluri
on Gozo, The Pride and the Prejudice by Jacob Calicut. 23rd June 2020, 1:42 p.m., Victoria Bus Terminus. What a month! Packing my bags this morning was difficult. I had to say farewell to my dear friends, who I have cherished getting to know over the past few weeks. I dragged my suitcase onto the 306 bus from Schlende to Victoria, and here starts my journey home. The journey home with emotions, with more thoughts and questions. My visit to Gozo was through the invaluable experience of researching the impact of queer rights on the lives of young queer Gozotans. LGBT plus Gozo was part and parcel of the answers to this. Oh, but it was much, much more. The friendships, the emotional connections to the island itself, the trips to Camino around Gozo, to the promised land that is Malta. The memoirs of sunset, summer nights in Slende, with wine and poetry night. So much packed in a few days and a few nights. That night when I attended a bibliotherapy session held at the Asala Hub, the experience to learn, listen, and understand more the passionate poetry produced that painted the queer Gozotan experience. I must admit my cold British exterior was cracking, and I felt pensive sadness at one poet's prose. I was reminded of the emotive power of poetry, a lesson I carry with me today. Copious amounts of wine and laughter topped off the night, reaffirming Gozotan values of community and solidarity. I came to the island to find anthropological answers to anthropological questions. I left the island of Calypso, discovering a little bit more about myself. I have to come back. Gozo, thank you. I have to leave now. The ferry is boarding soon. Jacob.
So, listening to that and just like go, wow. Like,
yeah.
And I go, wow,
yeah.
Purely because such a real, such a raw experience in, what, a page? I think it's a page.
Pretty much a page, basically.
And just like, it gives so much experiences from, like, an individual who stumbled across LGBTI plus Gozo, is in Gozo to do something else completely different.
Completely different.
And here we are. What does this mean for LGBTI plus Gozo? This experience now of an individual who, well, we'll say hi to Jacob from here. We'll tell him we'll plug him in. it just shows, and just by luck, he happens to be in Gozo.
Right now, yeah.
Right now, yeah. When the book launch happened. And he was at the book launch. He read that piece. And the experience of, like, the experiences of different individuals, right, in a book, that the profile is so different, right, but still have a connection to Gozo.
Yeah.
For LGBTI plus Gozo, what does this representation mean? What does this fuel the organization to continue doing?
It fuels us, it motivates us to continue, to keep fighting, to reach for more than what we think we're capable of. You know, I think sometimes as activists, we get trepidation from the limits of what it is that we can achieve, particularly in a small place, in a secular place, a concise place. And being able to represent expats, drag queens, trans people, and particularly people who, just like Jacob, who stumbled across this island.
Right.
I mean, the same is for Rowan,
right.
You know, who wrote two or three pieces here for this book. People with no background to Malta or Gozo who are here now, you know, and contributing to that. So I think it really takes Gozotan queers out of that box that we can only stay here, you know, that there are other people who are here and interested in the experiences that Gozotans have, you know. So for us, it really motivates us to continue to reach out to stakeholders, to continue to, we were talking about space, carve space for ourselves,
right?
To be here, to show people we're here, we're not scary.
And let's go on to the book launch very quickly. Like, firstly, why a book launch? Like, why do you launch a book also, what does the book launch mean at a bigger scale?
It was really amazing to have all of these different writers who didn't know each other before contributing to this book. So it was really awesome to be able to see everyone come together. And it was really important for us to relay to our authors how much we appreciated and respected the art pieces that they received. Each author received a copy of the book that was theirs. We had a beautiful moment where everyone was signing each other's books. And it really had that group atmosphere. And that's what we like to do as LGBT Gozo with all of our events, to really facilitate this community building. Because, as you know, as LGBT people, our community is of essential importance. So being able to show people who might not have known about the organization before, it was so nice, you know, standing outside of the venue and people had walked by and, you know, the one girl was, you know, talking to me and saying, oh, it's so great that you guys are here. And, you know, I'm part of the community and I can't wait to come to Pride. And it's things like that that really fill my heart and help me continue to push, you know, to help people in this way.
Yeah. I think the book signing, like the people signing each other's book, that was not...
It was not expected, not planned in any way. I don't know who started it, but we all were searching for pens. Let's
I'm going to name and shame. Most probably it's Antoine. I'm just going to name and shame.
Probably Antoine.
So we're coming to the like very end of the program. Where can one find and order this book? And where did the money come from?
So we were granted funds to publish this book from the
Ministry for Gozo Fund.
Thank you so much, Iman. And they were generous enough to support us with the publication of this book, being able to bring our book to mind. So people can order the book, a completely free copy of our book, by emailing us at lgbtgozo.com. Excuse me, lgbtgozo@gmail.com.
There you go.
There you go.
You gave the website.
I gave the website, which is also good. You can also reach out to the website to become a member as well and see a little bit more about what we do. But again, to order the free copy of the book, you can email us at lgbtigozo@gmail.com. Of course, donations are greatly appreciated so we can continue to do this kind of work and bring support to the community.
So that's lgbtigozo@gmail.com to order your free copy of the book. Donations also are accepted. We have, let me do very quick math, 3 minutes, 2.5 minutes. And I would like to... ask you what other services are available from LGBT Epitaph.
Yes. So we, besides putting on social events like nature walks, meetups, nights out where the community comes together, we also offer free counseling services to our members, to queer people and their families.
Okay.
Where they're able to meet with a trainee counselor and that service is completely free. We also have a list of queer-friendly professionals. So people who one can go to receive law services, mental health services, etc., without fear of discrimination. We also do trainings to different entities, different NGOs, different companies, about LGBT people, about their realities, about their identities, where we're able to have discussions and help support the community.
And where can one reach out to specifically get access to this?
So they can contact us by email and also our hotline.
Right. So 993-56622, and they can call over there, and also the email lgbtigozo@gmail.com. I'll repeat the number 993-56622, and then over there you can get all the information you need, all the all the information you need, and also get in touch with LGBTI Plus Gozo, and also to understand a little bit more on what's all.
We're also on Facebook and Instagram as well,
right.
Where you can reach out and learn more about what the organization is up to.
I tend to send, like, Facebook is the go-to place, usually.
It's assumed, you know, it's assumed, but might as well.
But thank you for that, Kat. Thank you so much for finding your time to come here.
Thank you for having me.
To have this conversation with us and honestly just sharing your experience as well and everything that goes through to publish a book. So there you go. Thank you, Kat.
Thank you so much, Iman. Thank you.
So... dik il-nota zejra wkoll ta' kif wieħed għandu jakkwista l-ktieb il-ħna minn għawdex Gozo Voices, lgbtigozo@gmail.com, jew grazzi wkoll għall-paġna tal-Facebook, lgbtigozo, hemmhekk wieħed jista' jakkwista l-kopja tiegħu xejn biex ukoll hu ikollu dan il-ktieb ħelu gustus fil-librerija tiegħu. Isma, dal-programm kull-ewwel wieħed għal din l-iskeda, grazzi ħafna talli kontu magħna, sija ta' diskussjoni vera ħadna gostina wketta hawnhekk, u issa nirġgħu ninaqdu flimkien bħallum ġimgħa dejjem fuq Campus l-istazzjon tar-radju fl-Università ta' Malta, b'repetizzjoni wkoll dejjem fuq din il-frekwenza 103.7 FM. Tal-ġimgħa d-dieħla jiena Mamborċ, inselmilkom. Ciao ciao!